You're listening to CivCast on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/CivCast.
All right. Hey, everybody. VectorCat here for a solo mini-sode edition of CivCast, recapping February CivCast Challenge. Glad to have you with me. And thanks to everybody who played along in February. It was a really fun month. Looks like some games were a little bit more difficult than others, and we will get into that. I'm certainly in that more difficult than others camp. I absolutely got smashed trying this prestige challenge as Germany, and eventually just gave up and finished the challenge as Arabia, but we'll get into that later. We had 8 official players this month. I think we had a 9th. There was a deleted post on Reddit at one point. I don't know what happened there, but I count 8, and we're going to start with 2 what I'm calling honorable mentions. First up is Beer Is My Homie, a new player. Welcome to the group. Glad to have you. Thanks for playing along. If you're not new and I just haven't noticed before, sorry, my bad. Started a game but didn't finish it, and still posted some photos and posts on the Reddit. I looked at your starting position and it's not ideal. It's not great for a religious win, and I get it being challenging. The adjacency bonuses offered by this starting position are kind of crap. If you find yourself in this situation again, you may consider a different play style that's not so adjacency dependent. You might try a pantheon that gives faith per turn in converted cities, or gives faith per defeated enemies. Maybe a religious and domination combination playstyle. Arabia is good for this. Poland is good for this. So those are 2 civs to consider if you want to give this another shot. Thanks for jumping into the mix regardless. Really appreciate the post. Up next is Elephant is Dread. I believe another new player, and was the first to post a completion post this month. So nice job striking first blood on the win. Elephant is Dread went for a religious victory with Arabia and had Jerusalem in their game, which, considering the crusade theme of this month, I just thought that was too perfect. I wish there was a mechanic for inserting city-states individually into a game so you could really, you know, custom build these scenarios. Just getting Jerusalem in this scenario is fantastic. Thanks for the post. Really appreciate it. And appreciate you being part of the map discrepancy discussion early on in the month. Every time we do these seed numbers, things get weird. Sometimes we luck out. We've had it work before. I don't know what happens when it goes wrong, but we here at VectorCat Industries are trying our best to make it work. I never did see a completion turn count for Elephant is Dread, so I don't know where to rank you, but thanks for playing along. Thanks for being the first to post a victory. Nice job. So now, moving on to Pendon, who's one of our regulars here with the CivCast Challenge. Thanks for playing along this month. I seem to have suffered some of the same problems you did, Pendon. I had a really hard slog trying to do this as a 1 or 2 city challenge. Pendon is taking the most honorable high road here and not issuing an official turn count, because they used the rise and fall mechanics to eventually achieve victory, which I respect. I think you should still post your victory. You do what you want to do. But Pendon offers a really interesting discussion of the rise and fall mechanics that are going to be important going forward now that the update is live. And one thing I want to hit real quick in Pendon's post is talking about Governor Moksha and Governor Moksha's extra spread buff for missionaries and apostles, And Pendon used that to great effect with your Revan's buffs. Just imagine, okay, imagine if you had Governor Mox's buff plus mosques as your religious building plus Hagia Sophia as a wonder. That would give each of your religious units a native plus three spread. To like, everyone you build would get a plus three spread. Not too shabby. So that's definitely an interesting religious build to consider going forward. Pendon also, in his one city game, spent 10 turns before he founded his capital, which I can just say is a brave move. I'm happy spending like maximum 3 turns to find the right location for a capital. 10 is bold, and I commend you for it. So thanks for playing along. All right, so now on to the people who completed the challenge this month. In fourth place, we've got Drachman, one of our regulars, who finished at 380, which means 245 turns, because we started in the medieval era this month. Glad to hear that this one challenged you a little bit. It's always nice to get out of the comfort zone, and sometimes the CivCast challenge is really meant to be just that, a challenge, make you try something new. Catherine was also a real powerhouse in both the domination and the religious game that I played. She messed me up in both games, so I'm not surprised that she gave you a run for your money as well. I think that your strategy of taking her out early on in the game was a really good one. Catherine's native culture strength seemed to allow France to get up into the culture tree faster than other civs, and that can help France snowball a religious victory in ways that you might not expect, just because they've unlocked more civics and more wonders than some other civs have. So I really commend that strategy. I think it was a good one. Nice leverage of the theocracy government to purchase some units. We've talked before about using theocracy as an alternative economy, using faith to purchase units quickly and defend yourself. Really nice employment of that strategy here. It's interesting that Germany was such a threat with religion, but then again, Germany in Civ 6 is one of those civilizations that can kind of do anything, and with their production and economy bonuses, they can just sprawl all over everywhere and put a bunch of holy sites down and generate a lot of faith per turn and give you a challenge. So it was surprising at first, but the more I thought about it, it makes sense. I'm curious to know what your religious beliefs were, if you want to add that to the Reddit, and I hope you enjoyed playing as Arabia. They're one of my favorite civs to play, and it was fun to see people use them to such great effect this month. Moving on to third place, we've got Wimbledog, which I believe is another new player who finished with Arabia taking the prestige challenge mode at turn 332. So that's a total of 197 turns. And it looks like we were actually playing on the same map. So nice to have something work out this month. Mahabodhi Temple sure does come in handy. You're right about that. I think it was a great choice to build that. When you can snag that wonder on a religious game, it's always handy. And if I'm reading your photographs right, you're building mosques as well. And I think that's one of the better choices for a religious victory, because that native plus one spread to all your units is just really handy. You get a lot more, you know, spread bang for your buck out of your individual units. And I also just love that you're playing as Arabia, you're building mosques, your religion was Islam, and I'm pretty sure you founded Islam in Mecca, and it all looks great together, the mosques against the Arabian design in the game. It makes for some really great Imgur photos, and it's also just so historically perfect. I'm sure Dan would appreciate it if he's listening. Some awesome photos from this game. Y'all should check it out. There was an epic standoff in this game between some Arabian apostles and looked like some gurus, and some French inquisitors, and it's this great, like, old-school trench warfare lineup of forces on the French border, which was, it's a really great shot. Y'all should check it out. France built aerodromes. Aerodromes are pointless. All right. Anyway, moving on. Second place, Arka Raislin, another regular player, finished at turn 295 for a total turn count of 159. Germany Prestige Mode, two-city challenge, and 159 turns. And I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. No horses, no iron, and Arka Raislin knocked it out. I didn't finish this. Good job. Like, seriously, really good job. Great discussion of city planning before going off to war here. This is really important with Germany because their industrial buffs are amazing. So if you don't take advantage of their infrastructure, you're doing something wrong. And I think this mini turtle at the top of the game really did Arka Raislin some favors. It's really tempting to rush early. It's really tempting to go out there and, you know, strike early on before someone gets their feet up under them. But with Germany, once you get that, you know, that military industrial plant working, it really pays off later, especially when you've got encampments going and you're generating great general points. It becomes really handy. This is a awesome tutorial post for a fine industrial military complex in your empire. Colosseum and Terracotta Army, both great choices. Reminded me that I should have built the Colosseum in my Germany game because I had barbarians coming out of everywhere. It was terrible, and I didn't like it. So nice job with that. And extra bonus points for including the phrase "London has fallen" in your post. Made me giggle. Arka Raislin encountered some problems getting units to France because of the distance and some attrition with his armies getting into France. And this is what we're talking about. The two-city, the one-city games are going to be difficult because you don't have that tightly packed empire with a great supply chain and roads to move forces to the front quickly. So Arka Raislin was able to overcome that and quickly, which is fantastic. But this is a pretty good example of why playing these small empire games can be really challenging. Also, nice notes on the makeup of Arka Raislin's army. You've got cavalry, bombards, and field cannons, supplemented by great generals, making a really strong fighting force and a versatile fighting force. So this is a really great discussion of why it's beneficial not to just crank out the same type of troop over and over again. Really nice job. Thanks for the in-depth post. Really appreciate it. So the first place on the domination front is Marino, another regular player. Welcome back. Always glad to have you. I love when Marino is in the challenge because you get these brutal speedrun games of Civ 6, and it's a lot of fun sometimes to play Civ 6 slowly and kind of lay out and go for the long game and play culture or play science and just kind of relax and go for the late game. And Marino's just like a hatchet man. Marino makes things happen quick. He got a German victory on 86 turns. And I think this game was made a little bit easier because Marino let the Empire sprawl, didn't go for the prestige challenge. And I think in that regard, that's playing to Germany's strengths, and it worked out well. Thanks for playing, Marino. There's an interesting discussion here to be had about the progression of an empire when you don't get a good start. So your start sucks. So what? Your next cities can be great. Your capital is usually going to be a little bit stronger than your other cities just because it was built first. It's got more time to ramp up. So don't feel like it has to always be perfect. You can supplement your capital's lackings by your other cities later on. And Marino offers a really good example of this type of thinking in this post. We have another great example of mixing cavalry with ranged units, namely field cannons. They make a great 1-2 punch. And cavalry, because they can move around quickly, are really good for protecting those cannons from attacking units. So nice job there. Also, Marino, hope you get your computer fixed, man. Sorry to hear that you're having so much trouble. So Marino takes first place on the domination front, and I took first place on the religious front with a two-city Arabia victory in 74 turns. I don't like talking about myself too much. I'm not going to talk about it too much. You can check out the Reddit post if you want, where I break down my religion build and my spam min-max super fast religious strategy. You can check that out. So there's that. I had fun. I hope you all did. Congratulations to everybody who finished the challenge this month, and thank you all so much for being a part of it. I really appreciate it. Thanks for keeping this going. And speaking of keeping going, let's move on to March's Challenge Station. March's Challenge is going to be our first with the new Rise and Fall DLC. This is going to be either fun or terrible. We're about to find out. So, March's Challenge is a science challenge. You are playing as Korea. I had a hard time deciding between Korea and Scotland. Korea just looks like an overpowered, fun, like, death trap of a science sieve. So I think Korea is going to be where we start this month. Your opponents are China, Japan, Scotland, Sumeria, and the Netherlands. You're going for a science victory. Do not disable the other victory types. If you do, this will turn into a bloodbath of science sieves. This is supposed to be a little bit difficult because of the other sieves that are in the game. But if you disable all victory conditions besides science, I don't want to see what happens. We're going to play on difficulty of Emperor this month. Start era is ancient. Turn one. Game speed is standard, as per usual. Going back to a continents map this month, see if we can get some distance between these other people. We're playing on a small map because there's six players. And we're going to have a special map condition this month of the low sea level so that we can encourage sprawling out a little bit, bouncing back from the small empires of February. We've got two prestige mode achievements this month. Not so much like the two city or the one city challenge, where it was a completely different way to play the game. This month they're back to just being achievements. The first achievement is Wrecking Crew, which is sabotage three spaceports or industrial hubs with spies. You keep hearing that spies are important. Got to use them this month. And then the other prestige mode achievement is related to I forget what it's called, but it's where you clear nuclear fallout with a Legion. The second achievement this month is Happy Gilmore, which is pillage a golf course with a warrior. I will post all of this on Reddit after Kyle puts up this episode to all of the servers. The challenge starts today, and it closes-ish. You know, remember, on Friday, March 30th. Remember, if you have to sneak in Saturday morning, that's fine. It's just I have more time to collate everybody's posts if you post them on Friday. It gives me more time to go through and prepare the feedback. So again, it is a science win. Continents, Korea, turn one, playing against China, Japan, Scotland, Sumeria, and the Netherlands. All right. Closes Friday, March 30th. I know there are some people out there that do not have Rise and Fall because it is not live for Macs and Linux yet. It's probably going to be live for Mac and Linux before the month is out. It's probably going to be live this month. That being said, I am going to post a variant of this challenge for Mac and Linux on the Reddit page. So if you don't have Rise and Fall yet, but you still want to play along with some people that may not be on a PC, you're welcome to do it. I will have those conditions under the primary conditions on the CivCast post on the Reddit. So please feel free to check that out. Please stay engaged even if you're not on PC and don't have Rise and Fall yet. Or if you do have a PC and you just haven't sprung for the DLC yet, which is fine too. There's one different prestige mode achievement for that one, though, because there's no golf courses in the base game. All right, so that's it. Thanks again, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Enjoy the challenge for March, and I will see you all next month. All right, have fun.